So we're going to have a special series of classes, because it's just prior to the book marathon coming up. So to orient ourselves about the importance and necessity, the privilege of just reading through the PowerPoint books, these classes for the next several days will be oriented around this activity, this very important activity that was so pleasing to His divine grace. So today we're supposed to have end of 7, chapter 9, text 43. The name of the chapter is "For God pacifies the Lord with prayers." Translation: O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as Vimutha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as Dukalayam Asashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into Sukalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in their own way. Prakrite Kriyamanami Vinay Parmani Sarvashah Ahankara Vimudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the Asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier for the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance, and conquer material nature, but at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side of the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivivyesha Vimahi Mama Maya Dharatyaya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, Dharatyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as Vimutha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. The Lal Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Om Janatana Nasya Janatana Sahara Chakshu Tandi Tasma Shri Padayana Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Stakitam Nena Bhutam Swam Rupa Dhanam Vata Swam Chomakam Namah Shri Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutra Vishnate Bhakti Vanta Swam Nityananda Namaste Sarasati Deva Gaurava Vajana So once again, the verse by Prabhupada Maharaj. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So this very heartfelt, powerful prayer was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, a five-year-old child, after his father, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed in front of his eyes by Lord Krishnadev. And Lord Krishnadev was extremely angry at this point because Hiranyakashipu had so abused his son for no reason at all, simply his demoniac propensities wanting to be the supreme and being defied by his child, his son. So not only has he killed Hiranyakashipu, but he's killed thousands of his army as well. It's a very gory scene. The Lord has garlanded himself with the contestants of his opponent. And he's very furious. He's sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And at that point, the demigods have come, and they try to approach the Lord. They offer many, many prayers to him. The Kumaras and the Vidyaras and even Shiva and Brahma. And the Lord is still not appeased. He's still overwhelmed with anger. So finally, Brahma comes to Prahlad and says, "You appease the Lord. We came for you." So Prahlad fearlessly goes before the Lord, who even Lakshmi did not please. And he offers his prostrated obeisances. And the Lord sees him and puts his hand on Prahlad's head. And so pleased by the devotion of this great exalted Vaishnava. And from that touch of the Lord's hand on the head of Prahlad, Prahlad is given transcendental knowledge. He invested it. Wonderful transcendental knowledge and also emotional ecstasy. And so the verses that we're reading now are the emotional ecstasies. One of the emotional ecstasies of Prabhupada mentioned also that his purports are his emotional ecstasies. So both the verse and the purport. And Prabhupada makes beautiful statements to the Lord, saying how he is not afraid, even though the Lord has such fearsome features, and even though he's drenched in the blood of Prahlad's father, and his roaring is disturbing the demigods, but Prahlad is not afraid because he has taken shelter of the Lord, and he has complete confidence that the Lord will fulfill his promise and give shelter to those who take shelter of him. And so we got Guru. That confidence, Prahlad speaks so many prayers, including this one, which is so important for us. And he says that personally, he himself he has complete satisfaction. And yet, although he has complete satisfaction, he uses this word to soche. He's lamenting. The prophet says in the purport that he's feeling both extremely happy and also extremely unhappy. So how is that? That in one sense we can understand the devotee is always satisfied, is always happy. That the devotee has no lamentation. There's a verse, a beautiful verse in the 18th chapter of the Gita, and it's described Brahma Bhuta, Prasanna, and Sochati, and Kanchati. So for one who is Krishna conscious, there is no hankering, there is no lamenting. It's one of the austerities of the mind, is satisfaction, serenity. Always studying the Vedas. So satisfaction is there in a devotee, because a devotee is focused on Krishna. And for himself or herself, their needs are very simple. They want to chant Hare Krishna. They want to be with devotees. They want to have an opportunity to study the scriptures. They want to do a little service. And so there's a great sense of satisfaction in the life of the devotee. There's no hankering, there's no lamenting. And yet, Prahlada Maharaj, right here, he says that he is lamenting, but not for himself. He is lamenting because he sees how the whole world is wasting their time, people are wasting their lives, because they're full of material ambitions. And these ambitions can never satisfy them, even if they're fulfilled. Which is, someone says, Nandanam, Nandanam, Masumir. And he doesn't want wealth, Nandanam. He has no ambition. The whole world we see now is driven by this idea that if I have wealth, I'll become happy. Not that we want to minimize people's economic challenges. But nonetheless, the propaganda is you get wealth and you get happiness. But in fact, we can see if we analyze just a little bit, the wealth in fact does not bring happiness. It's so unfortunate that people are deluded by all the propaganda and the advertisements that they're surrounded by social media. And also not Janam. But Lord Chaitanya is saying that he doesn't want so many followers. In the material world, people think, oh, I want some position, and then people will come begging for me, please give me this answer, please give me that answer, and I'll feel myself to be very important. And again, that's another aspect of this mentality of these rascals. So there's lava, there's greed, and then there's puja, people want worship, and pratishta, which is they want to be famous. And it says they want to see their statue in the Maidan, go to the center of the town, that's the statue. But where is the person done? The person who was inhabiting that body that they glorified, and that person could be in the body of a cat, or a dog, or a moose. So what is the use of this pratishta? People come and worship the statue, but the actual person who formerly inhabited the body the statue represents could be an abominable species of life. So what is the meaning of all that? It's actually useless. So the idea of human life is actually to prepare ourselves for our next life. That is the goal, the mission of human life. And in the flurry of the grip of passion and ignorance, we miss that goal. And as a result, we have all these diversions, all these aspects of our lives, all these goals that will not actually fulfill us. And yet we're so keen on fulfilling them. I was just meditating on this line that we chant every morning. Yei prashade kure sava sarva asa. So it's the last line of the second verse. Yei prashade kure sava asa. It means by his mercy, the mercy of the spiritual master, all my desires, my asa, will be fulfilled, sarva. And kure means fulfilled. Right? By the mercy of the spiritual master, all my desires will be fulfilled. So this can be very confusing, because, you know, I desire so many things. How can I possibly be fulfilled on this personality. And actually, if we study it, we can see that as we practice Krishna consciousness, all those material desires subside, and we can see the futility of them. And so, the asa, like the desires that we have materially, become less and less, and our spiritual desires increase. And so, the spiritual master, by his mercy, we can actually fulfill those desires. In fact, that is the only way to fulfill our desires, which is the spiritual desires, is to turn to the spiritual master and take shelter of him. And by his mercy, we can actually make advancement in the spiritual life. So these things are so important for us to meditate on. And as they become more and more of a reality, we'll see what God calls these fools and rascals are inhabiting our planet. And how not only are they wasting their own lives, but they're also destroying our planet in the process of doing that with various kinds of pollution and exploitation of the animals of the earth. It's actually a tragic situation that only is increasing as time goes on. It's very difficult to be free of these modes of nature. That's the verse that we read in this purport. But, Deva hi esha numani mana maya janateya. This energy is actually divine. It's coming from Krishna. But it's very difficult. Janateya, the same word that's used in this verse, very difficult to cross beyond. But by surrender, by the sincerity, by the association of the devotees, we can actually make progress in that way. It takes some effort and it takes really good association. The analogy is given that if we've gone out of our home and we have some sort of an accident, then when we come back to ourselves, we think, I don't want to be with strangers. I want to be my relatives or my friends. I want to be in my comfortable home. That's a very natural reaction. So similarly, we've left the spiritual world, we've come to this world. It's a terrible mistake that we've made. So we want to be with those who we feel close to, and those are the devotees. The devotees can help us. We orient our goals, we orient our lives around something meaningful. And if we drift away from that company, then again we can be caught in this illusion of material energy, simply inhabited by fools and rascals who are wasting their lives. So it's important to remain clear in our goals, clear in the opportunity, and to get out of this part from. Come closer, ever closer to Krishna, by the mercy of his mercy and the mercy of the devotees who represent him. So Balaram Maharaj was so fortunate in that he heard this knowledge from the very womb when he was in the womb of his mother. And he was an exalted devotee at one point. Prabhupada says the 12 Mahajans were considered authorities on spiritual life. And he says at one point that of the 12, Prahlad Maharaj is the best, such an exalted personality. So we can take real inspiration from his love for the fools and rascals who are wasting their lives, trying to become happy by maintaining their families, societies, and countries. And he says, I'm simply concerned with love for them. So as we become more compassionate, our love for the non-devotees will grow, and we'll see more and more clearly how they're in a terrible situation in the grip of mind, and then have more and more impetus to try to help them. For example, a wonderful example we have is Srila Prabhupada, and he was very satisfied living in Vrindavan, around Dhammadhar temple. And yet, based on the instruction of his spiritual master, and they love that life of complete satisfaction in the holiest town, in one of the holiest places in the Holy Land, and took up so much trouble to come to the West to get this knowledge. So much trouble, great risk to his own life, constant headaches, problems that he never would have expected due to immaturity and innocence of his fathers. There was one point in his father was waiting, which was very early days in New York City. He was expecting an important person to come from the government, and I think they're talking about visa troubles. And so he told his servant, don't let anyone in. There's someone important coming. I'll be sure no one else comes into Bali. So this man came who was so important to Prabhupada. And the servant didn't realize it was the person Prabhupada was waiting for. So he wouldn't let him in. He went away. Prabhupada heard him. There was like no common sense. Where is the common sense? There's so many big and small problems from there, constant headache. And then he went on. And why? He loved for his followers and loved for those who were not his followers. So this is the mood that we want to evoke in ourselves when we're trying to distribute Prabhupada's books. And we have something so precious to offer them. This knowledge, the culture, the lifestyle, every aspect of it. It's invaluable. We can't put a price on it. And yet, very often, you know, they'll be rude to us and say they have no time, they call us brainwashed, and any number of insults and derogatory words that they may use for us. But nonetheless, that doesn't change the situation that they're after something Christmas, and they're wasting this most valuable human form of life for something absolutely useless. It's like Prabhupada gives the example. And if a child is flying a kite on the roof, you know, maybe they have these flat roofs, you can go up and do so many things. When a child is flying a kite and he's going near the edge of the roof, any gentleman, any lady will say, "Stop," you know, in a rush to save the child. So similarly, the child will think, "Well, I'm just having fun. Why is this person bothering me?" But that's the situation in this world. People are wasting their lives, and they don't know. No one knows what sort of abominable situation they'll be in this life. So here's the opportunity to actually do something worthwhile with their own. Please, even just push the book. Even just say Hare Krishna. Even just taste the Shalom. And the journey will begin. So it's a great privilege for us to have this opportunity. It's also a great responsibility. And we should use all our fortitude and strength and resolve to try to do it effectively, so that every person we come in contact with some sort of a favorable experience, some sort of favorable reaction. And in that way, their journey begins. And I hope one day it ends at the Lord's feet. But I hope we remember. And then we have a point to commit, but perhaps there's some discussion we can have around this. The distribution map that is coming.
Thank you so much. It was very, very meditative class, which very nicely presented the mood of both the bottom of one line and specifically. My question is, you mentioned that we have this burden of love given by our spiritual predecessors, Rupa Sanatana Shabbat, by our spiritual teachers. So, my question is, sometimes these instructions, as you mentioned, that Srila Prabhupada went through a lot of difficulties, a lot of troubles, a lot of headaches, a lot of difficult father management. So how can we have this kalacha, this honor, and still you don't follow the instructions about basics, it's extremely holding things to happen. Mana is a great place, very big, very vast. To organize something like this, it is headed. So how can we have the fortitude to go through and do what is asked of us or what is instructed to us? How can we have the strength to go out and distribute and get that inspiration to do what needs to be done?
And I think the two angles you can look at it from, one is out of duty. If you know our spiritual master wants us to happen, wants us to participate in it. And of course, that can be a bit of a struggle. But the other aspect is that we do it because we actually feel for the people. We actually understand their suffering, even though they may not look like they're suffering. They look happy, and they look happy. To the clubs and doing whatever. But with this knowledge, we can understand that there is a great work in that, and it's a dark realm. And with that, if we can successfully understand that, then we'll actually feel ourselves that we want to help. Just like the gentleman and the lady wants to stop the child on the kite from going off the edge of the building. So, similarly, in the same way, we want to stop all these people from. As I said, pursuing things that are not going to give them happiness. Maya Sukhaya is the word that Brahma Maharaj uses. Temporary illusory happiness, Maya Sukhaya, that is what the whole world is after. And that is the gift that Brahma has given us that we can find a way from out, even in a small way. You know, if you're in a room that's completely black, all you take is one little candle, and then you can see, and then you can just take a look. So similarly, if we can do that one little candle in the life of another person or many other people, that will be glorious. It's absolutely glorious. So please, because you're a powerful one, to your Krishna.
You see that in this age, mental illness is on the rise and depression. And it even affects devotees. You say, chant, you have to get even devotees sometimes. So my question is twofold. One, how can we understand this when we take into the process of chanting Hare Krishna and still affected by, kind of depression? And the second part of the question is, how can we overcome our mental obstacles to actually go out on the street or go out door to door, whatever it is, get out and distribute the mercy of
It's very much true that mental health is deteriorating. I'm sure it can be attributed to many causes. For instance, the increased divorce rate, people are growing up in broken families. And they're growing up under such difficult conditions, financially, politically. So all these things, I'm sure, combine. Also, I'm sure the pollution that we're surrounded by doesn't help physically or mentally. So we do have, for instance, in this temple, we have some qualified therapists, psychiatrists, and they started a little program called Mind Space. So the devotees who are having trouble with their minds can go there. And there shouldn't be any stigma attached to that. So if we have trouble with our bodies, we go to an appropriate doctor. So the mind is another immaterial element. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, so they're all material elements. So it's not unusual in this age of such tension between people, such deterioration of relationships of the family, that there'll be mind troubles, so much abuse, physical, mental, emotional abuse. So that is a signal we should go to the people that can help us with our minds, and in that way be more calm to pursue Krishna consciousness. And then as far as our own resolve, And I think it's really important to association, not to go out to distribute books alone, but to have a companion, perhaps in followers, but some people off by themselves. I don't know which person can have a companion so that we can maintain our enthusiasm, maintain our perspective, maintain our enthusiasm to be successful, even in the attempt. Even in the attempt to get some pleasing to show the Prabhupada. So, a good association with him. The attempt with full-hearted enthusiasm. I read the stories told by Sankarshan Prabhu when Rama visited Vrindavan. Sankarshan Prabhu was there and he went into Prabhupada's rooms with a few others, like two or three others. Prabhupada addressed them and said, "Are you trying to understand my books?" And Sankarshan was so pleased that he didn't say, "Are you understanding my books?" But the trying, just the trying is pleasing, because what can we do? It's any understanding, any realization we might get is the most important. But if we make the attempt, perhaps we'll be eligible for that in this sense.
That applies to our distributing books, and even the attempt, even trying to do it, you're going to get from the zoo. And
that,
you know,
the end
of
the day, they touch
on
the
words
which will be those events. And that was the point I was trying to make, that just trying to distribute books is crazy. It's not a measure of, you know, numbers or people watching points.
Okay.
Oh, kind of thing.
What is the thing?
As being taught by Gopa Krishnamaji, how to overcome depression. And he was saying, if you follow Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita, as it is, as Krishna is saying everything, then you can overcome depression. So, Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita, ignorance starts when you identify with the problem. So the first understanding is you should understand the number one. Then our spiritual activities.
Anxieties also start when we identify ourselves with the body. As soon as we identify ourselves with something temporary, we'll be in anxiety because we are not temporary, we are permanent. So if we identify with this body, our house, or our family, means that we'll be full of anxieties. There's another, since we have a few minutes left, there's an important point that Prabhupada makes, and Prahlad Maharaj makes also earlier in this canto, if I could bring that up. And he says this is the sixth chapter, the third verse. Prahlad is teaching his friends at this point, his school friends. And he says, "A happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects and contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress." The same point is also made in the first point in the chapter, Narada Muni's teachings. The idea, it's very difficult for us to grasp this, but the idea is that whatever happiness is destined for us, it's destined, it's going to come, just like distress is destined, it will come. And we may try and struggle for happiness, but it's already destined. It's not related to our struggle. So in other words, people who are trying so hard for wealth, for prestige, for fame, for power, for happiness, ultimately, it doesn't matter how hard they struggle. It's already fixed up, just like the stress is fixed up. So instead of fighting with material energy, with Durga, we should focus on what we can do, which is develop spiritually, and understand that the happiness and the stress materially is already set by our previous fruits of activities, as Prabhupada says. according to one's past fruitive activities. So it will come automatically, as distress comes automatically. No one goes out and says to be distressed, but distress comes. Similarly, happiness will also come. Even though we're begging and pleading and doing so many things for happiness, it's destined it will come. It's not good. We're wasting our minds, our energy, and our life.
Thanks for not having encountered this determination you speak about that song. It was just a moment when what's going on here? Things going out. And there was a support man outside. And he asked me to do a favor. So some people picked him up. And he didn't know how he was going to get there. He didn't know where he was going to sleep. He didn't know what was going to happen. And he was, I said, well, I'm not sure. And he said, no, it's going to be done. And he was so single, pointed, this determination, just to attend a program, and he really had to be picked up for it. He didn't know what was going to happen. And,
Ordinary course of things, whatever endeavor we may think, you know, if I do this, then I'll avoid the distress and I'll get the happiness. There's already fixed up regardless of what we're doing. In fact, very often, if you strive for happiness, it will lead you. It's when you're not thinking about happiness at all. Some selfless service, something like that. And it is, you know, we read right here, there's two verses very similar, as I was saying, the first canto, fifth chapter, and also here, seventh canto, sixth chapter. It says, happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. In other words, without endeavoring to be happy, happiness will come, as distress comes without endeavoring to be distressed. As I said, it's an unusual concept for us to grasp if we've not grown up with that mentality.
There's one very interesting point in the Bhagavad Gita. So there are three types of austerity that we perform. The most difficult one is actually the austerity of the mind. When you have austerity of the body and austerity of the speech. It said the austerity of the mind is the most significant because it presents simplicity. And simplicity is satisfaction. And satisfaction is whatever I have, I'm happy with, and I don't have to want. So this is actually where happiness lies. Happiness that doesn't lie in the future or in the past. It lies in being satisfied with what you have at present. So you don't endeavor to, you endeavor to just function, endeavor to somehow satisfy the body rather than the soul. But this is what I thought about India when I went to Bhutan the first time. So people don't have much, like one bicycle or a car or this dangerous machine. And they haven't strived for extra, they were just satisfied. And that was their source of happiness. So I think happiness can be also just, it's present in the moment, just the satisfaction and simplicity of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think happiness is uniting the senses with the sense objects. But that is not happiness. That's a mistake. As you say, happiness is from within. And you feel satisfied in the mind and the heart.
Yeah, Tom. I believe what you say is correct, that endeavor has not, cannot really interfere, you know, in our karma, because in the Manasarita, I heard this from our Krishna Maharaj many years ago, Stratton. Either Manasarita or somewhere else, it is described that each one of us is born with a particular baggage of karma, and in that we find, you know, a certain amount of years that we have allotted to live, certain amount of happiness, certain amount of stress, certain amount of disease, and certain amount of children, whether girl, everything is predestined there. So it doesn't matter, you know, people that just following their karma, they're using up the baggage from previous life, the rather karma. But however, we can change that. Prabhupada told Tribhuvana, I am your good fortune. We can make them fortunate by, you know, giving them the prasad or the book or Harinam, and people's baggage will change. They will you know, it will take a different route, different path. You agree with that?
I was trying to say that in my own talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you.